Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States and Mrs. Laura Bush, and the Vice President of the United States. Please be seated. Thank you all for coming. Welcome, Mr. Vice President, members of my cabinet. Laura and I are pleased you could join us on this special occasion. We're delighted to welcome our distinguished honorees, as well as their families and friends, to the White House. Thanks for coming. Presidential Medal of Freedom is our nation's highest civil honor. The medal recognizes high achievement in public service, science, the arts, education, athletics, and other fields. Today we honor 10 exceptional individuals who have gained great admiration and respect throughout our country. Norman Y. Mineta personifies the terms public servant and patriot. He served as an Army intelligence officer, the mayor of San Jose, California, 10-term U.S. Congressman, and a cabinet member under presidents of both parties. He was my Secretary of Transportation. No Secretary of Transportation ever served longer or confronted greater challenges than Norm Mineta. On September 11, 2001, he led the effort to bring thousands of commercial and private aircraft swiftly and safely to the ground. Norm was calm, and he was decisive in a moment of emergency. He showed those same qualities in the months and years afterwards, ably transforming his department to face the dangers of a new era. Norm Mineta's whole life has been an extraordinary journey. At the age of 10, he was sent with his mom and dad to an internment camp for Japanese Americans. Such wrongful treatment could have left a person bitter, but not Norm Mineta. Instead, he has given his country a lifetime of service, and he's given his fellow citizens an example of leadership, devotion to duty, and personal character. Mr. Secretary, you're a good friend and a great man, and our country honors you. With us today is Warren O'Neill, who will accept the Medal of Freedom on behalf of his brother, John Jordan Buck O'Neill. Buck O'Neill passed away in October after a baseball career spanning more than seven decades. He joined the Negro League in 1938 as the first baseman for the Kansas City Monarchs. Buck O'Neill won two batting titles and played on nine championship teams, and as a manager guided the Monarchs to four league titles. After finishing his playing career, Buck O'Neill joined the Chicago Cubs as a scout and later as the first African-American coach in the major leagues. He never did slow down. For the rest of his life, he was active in baseball, not just from the stands or the dugout. In July of this year, he took a turn at bat in a minor league all-star game in Kansas City. They wisely pitched around him. He drew a walk at the age of 94 years old. Buck O'Neill is also remembered as one of the game's best historians and ambassadors. He was the driving force behind the Negro League's Baseball Museum. He was proud to have been its chairman. But he once said, "It never should have been a Negro League. Shouldn't have been." Buck O'Neill lived long enough to see the game of baseball in America change for the better. He's one of the people we can thank for that. Buck O'Neill was a legend, and he was a beautiful human being, and we honor the memory of Buck O'Neill. One day in 1961, Ruth Colvin of Syracuse, New York, read a disturbing statistic in the morning newspaper. She learned that more than 11,000 people in her hometown could not read. Ruth wondered, why isn't somebody doing something about it? Ruth decided that she would do something. Working out of her basement, she formed a network of citizens willing to donate their time as reading tutors. Before long, that network reached beyond Syracuse and beyond New York, and it had a name, Literacy Volunteers of America. Over the years, the volunteers have helped hundreds of thousands of adults learn the reading and language skills they need to build a better life. Ruth rightly says, the ability to read and write is critical to personal freedom and the maintenance of a democratic society. Ruth's good influence has continued to grow. She travels the world promoting literacy with her husband and best friend Bob. She started literacy campaigns on multiple continents. Ruth has also made many dear friends, including another great crusader for literacy, my mother. Ruth's children, Terry and Lindy, know what I know, that you better listen to your mother. Ruth has said, I am and always have been a volunteer. More than that, Ruth Colvin is a person of intelligence and vision and heart, and she has earned the gratitude of many and the admiration of us all. Congratulations. Like Ruth, Dr. Norman C. Francis has dedicated his life to education. He achieved early distinction as the first African-American to graduate from the Loyola University College of Law. In 1968, he became president of his alma mater, Xavier University in New Orleans, and he is today the longest-serving university president in the United States. Dr. Francis is known across Louisiana and throughout our country as a man of deep intellect and compassion and character. He's an Army veteran. He led the United Negro College Fund. He was chairman of the board of the Educational Testing Service. And he holds only 35 honorary degrees. Last year, after Hurricane Katrina did great damage to the Xavier campus, Dr. Francis vowed the university would overcome and reopen its doors by January. And he kept that pledge. Dr. Francis continues to help the people of Southeast Louisiana as the leader of the Louisiana Recovery Authority as they continue to rebuild from the devastation of the hurricanes. The people of the Pelican State will benefit from the leadership of this good man. And all of us admire the good life and remarkable career of Dr. Norman C. Francis. Joshua Lederberg has always seemed ahead of his time. He was researching genetics when the field was scarcely understood. He was studying the implications of space travel before there were astronauts. And even three decades ago, he was warning of the dangers of biological warfare. All of his life, people have seen something special in this rabbi's son from Montclair, New Jersey. Someone who knew him in college said, you could tell that Joshua was in the lab because you could hear the breaking glass. He was so young, bursting with potential. He earned his PhD in his early 20s. At the age of 33, he won the Nobel Prize. Dr. Lederberg has remained at the top of the scientific field as a professor, researcher, and writer. As a columnist, an advisor to many administrations, he brought clear, independent thinking and wisdom to matters of public policy, especially in national security and nonproliferation. For his brilliant career, his high ethical standards, and his many contributions to our country, the United States thanks Joshua Lederberg. Americans first came to know Natan Sharansky as a voice for freedom inside an empire of tyranny. As a Jew applying to immigrate to Israel, he was refused and harassed by the Soviet regime. Natan Sharansky became a leading dissident, an advocate for human rights, and after a show trial, he was sentenced to a gulag for 10 years. The authorities may have hoped the world would forget the name of Sharansky. Instead, leaders like President Reagan and Ambassador Kirkpatrick spoke often of his persecution, and the case of Natan Sharansky became a symbol of the moral emptiness of imperial communism. Today, the Soviet Union is history, but the world still knows the name Sharansky. As a free man, he's become a political leader in Israel, winning 4 elections to the Knesset and serving more than 8 years in the cabinet. He remains, above all, an eloquent champion for liberty and democracy. Natan reminds us that every soul carries the desire to live in freedom, and that freedom has a unique power to lift up nations, transform regions, and secure a future for peace. Natan Sharansky is a witness to that power, and his testimony brings hope to those who still live under oppression. We honor Natan Sharansky for his life of courage and conviction. The struggle between freedom and tyranny has defined the past 100 years, and few have written of that struggle with greater skill than Paul Johnson. His book, Modern Times, The World from the 20s to the 80s, is a masterful account of the grievous harm visited on millions by ideologies of power and coercion. In all his writings, Paul Johnson shows great breadth of knowledge and moral clarity, and a deep understanding of the challenges of our time. He's written hundreds of articles and dozens of books, including The History of the Jews, The History of Christianity, The Quest for God, and The Birth of the Modern. Obviously, the man's not afraid to take on big subjects. 8 years ago, he published A History of the American People, which Dr. Henry Kissinger said was as majestic in scope as the country it celebrates. In the preface, Paul Johnson called Americans the most remarkable people the world has ever seen. He said, "I love them and I salute them." It's a high tribute from a man of such learning and wisdom, and America returns the feeling. Our country honors Paul Johnson, proudly calls him a friend. One of America's unique gifts to the world is a music called the blues. And in that music, 2 names are paramount: B.B. King and his guitar Lucille. It has been said that when John Lennon was asked to name his great ambition, he said to play the guitar like B.B. King. Many musicians have had that same goal, but nobody has ever been able to match the skill or copy the sound of the King of the Blues. He came up the hard way in the Deep South, living alone when he was 9 years old, walking miles to school and picking cotton for 35 cents a day. Barely out of his teens, he made his first trip to Memphis, Tennessee, with his guitar and $2.50 in his pocket. He made his name on Beale Street, and his studio recordings made him a national favorite. B.B. King has sold more than 40 million records. He won 14 Grammys. He has a place in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He's influenced generations of musicians from blues to rock, and he's performed in venues from roadside nightclubs to Carnegie Hall. He's still touring, and he's still recording, and he's still singing, and he's still playing the blues better than anybody else. In other words, the thrill is not gone. America loves the music of B.B. King, and America loves the man himself. Congratulations. William Safire joined the White House staff nearly 38 years ago as a speechwriter to the president. President Nixon once introduced Bill this way: "This is Safire, absolutely trustworthy. But watch what you say, he's a writer." Writing has been at the center of Bill Safire's eventful life, going back to his days in the U.S. Army and as a PR man in New York. As a young speechwriter drafting remarks for a New York City official, he used the word indomitable. When they asked Bill to find a better speech word, he suggested indefatigable. They fired him. We're a little more lenient about speech writing here. From the White House, Bill moved to the New York Times, where he spent more than 30 years as a columnist, who was often skeptical about our government, but never cynical about our country. He always was committed to the cause of human freedom. His wit and style and command of English earned him another spot: his own page in the Times magazine every Sunday. Bill has said that his On Language column attracts more mail than any of his other work. People write me about my language, too. Bill Safire has also written novels and a respected political dictionary. He won the Pulitzer Prize for commentary. He's a voice of independence and principle, and American journalism is better for the contributions of William Safire. Congratulations. David McCullough has won the Pulitzer Prize twice for Truman and John Adams, two of the most successful biographies ever published. In person and on the printed page, David McCullough shares the lessons of history with enthusiasm and insight. He has written definitive works on the Johnstown flood, the building of the Brooklyn Bridge, and the digging of the Panama Canal. His first book came out nearly 40 years ago. All of his books are still in print. David McCullough is also, for millions of Americans, the voice of history as the narrator of Ken Burns's The Civil War and other films. For those who question the importance of history, David likes to quote Harry Truman, who said, "The only thing new in the world is the history you do not know." David McCullough reminds us that the laws we live by, the freedoms we enjoy, the institutions that we take for granted, are all the work of other people who went before us. He's a passionate man about our responsibility to know America's past and to share it with every new generation. He's fulfilled that duty in his own career with splendid results. This chronicler of other times is one of the eminent Americans of our own time. The nation owes a debt of gratitude to a fine author and a fine man, David McCullough. Now the military aide will read the citations for the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Ruth Johnson Colvin. Ruth Colvin is a literacy pioneer and one of our nation's most effective ambassadors to the world on the importance of education. The founder of Literacy Volunteers of America, she has dedicated her life to helping the less fortunate gain the reading and language skills they need to succeed. Her work has inspired others to lead lives of service and devote their time and talents to combating illiteracy. The United States honors Ruth Johnson Colvin for her extraordinary efforts to provide hope and opportunity to people everywhere. Norman C. Francis. During his nearly 40 years as president of Xavier University of Louisiana, Dr. Norman Francis has demonstrated a steadfast dedication to education, equality, and service to others. Throughout his career, he has led religious, educational, and civil rights organizations and has made significant contributions to the important work of historically black colleges and universities. As chairman of the Louisiana Recovery Authority, he has played a vital role in helping the people of the Gulf Coast rebuild their lives in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. The United States honors Norman C. Francis for his leadership, compassion, and commitment to education. Paul Johnson. A brilliant historian and journalist, Paul Johnson's powerful writings have captivated and educated people around the world. From histories of Judaism and Christianity to the defining events, ideas, and personalities of the 20th century to the story of the American people, he has eloquently chronicled the forces that have shaped our world. A citizen of the United Kingdom, he holds America in special regard, calling the creation of our nation the greatest of all human adventures. The United States honors Paul Johnson for his landmark contributions to sharing the lessons of the past so that they may inform the present and shape the future. Riley B.B. King. One of the greatest blues singers and guitarists of all time, B.B. King is an American treasure. For more than half a century, the King of Blues and his guitar, Lucille, have thrilled audiences, influenced generations of guitarists, and helped give the blues its special place in the American musical tradition. Raised in the Mississippi Delta, he began his career playing on street corners, and today has performed more than 10,000 shows, won 14 Grammys, and been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The United States honors B.B. King for his lifetime of achievement as one of America's greatest musicians. Joshua Lederberg. Dr. Joshua Lederberg has devoted his life to the advancement of human knowledge across a remarkable range of scientific endeavor. His work in bacterial genetics earned him a Nobel Prize and laid the groundwork for future progress in the study of genetics. He has helped develop advanced computer technology, worked with NASA in the search for life on Mars, and served as a distinguished scientific advisor to our nation's policymakers. The United States honors Joshua Lederberg for his achievements in scientific discovery and his commitment to improving the lives of others. David McCullough. One of our nation's most distinguished and honored historians, David McCullough has taken his own place in American history. His books have earned him the respect of general audiences and scholars alike, and have received numerous awards, including 2 National Book Awards and 2 Pulitzer Prizes. The author of rigorous works on Harry Truman, John Adams, and the young Theodore Roosevelt, he is one of our foremost authorities on the American presidency. The United States honors David McCullough for his lifelong efforts to document the people, places, and events that have shaped America. Norman Y. Mineta. Norman Mineta exemplifies the high ideals of service, integrity, and courage. Despite the injustice of living in an internment camp when he was a child, he later served his country in the U.S. Army and went on to become a mayor, congressman, and cabinet secretary under 2 presidents. The longest-serving Secretary of Transportation, he worked to improve the security of our transportation system and restore our confidence in air travel after the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. The United States honors Norman Y. Mineta for a life of selfless and distinguished service to our nation. Warren O'Neill, accepting on behalf of John Buck O'Neill. Buck O'Neill represented excellence and determination both on and off the baseball field. Rising above the injustice of a segregated country and sport, he served his nation in World War II, was a talented player and manager in the Negro Leagues, and was Major League Baseball's first African-American coach. As a co-founder of and inspiration for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, he served as the museum's chairman of the board and worked to ensure that generations of baseball legends would not be forgotten. The United States honors John Buck O'Neill for his generous spirit, devotion to baseball, and unyielding commitment to equality. William Sapphire. As a journalist, speechwriter, columnist, author, and lexicographer, William Sapphire has distinguished himself as one of our country's most talented writers and commentators. Using the power of prose, he has educated our citizenry, polished our language, and vigorously defended human freedom. His work has earned him the recognition of his peers, including the Pulitzer Prize for Distinguished Commentary, and has elevated debate on issues of the day. The United States honors William Sapphire for his uncompromising commitment to his craft and to strengthening our democracy. Natan Sharansky. Natan Sharansky's life is a story of good conquering evil and an illustration of the strength of the human spirit. Imprisoned by the Soviet regime for his work to advance religious liberties and human rights, he spent 9 years in the Gulag. Following his immigration to Israel, he served with distinction in that nation's government. He remains a powerful champion of the principles that all people deserve to live in freedom and that the advance of liberty is critical to peace and security around the world. The United States honors Natan Sharansky for his contributions to and sacrifices for the cause of democracy and freedom.
Thank you all for coming. Congratulations to our honorees. Laura and I would like to invite you to a reception here to pay tribute to some of the finest citizens that the Almighty's ever produced. God bless you all. Thank you all.